What's up? It's Brian.
Oh, and hey, it's Murdoch. Welcome to Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories. It's a bonus episode.
One of the things we love to do is talk to you. You know, the show's pretty much driven by the mailbox. We are thestoryguys@gmail.com. You send us inquiries. We do what we can in the research department and get back to you. And we love to hear what you think of the show. So thank you for all of the notes that you send us, including this one. Let's just, where do we start? I got a lot of stuff to go through here. Sarah,
that's Sarah. Good one. By the way, thanks for the letters, like Brian said.
Yeah,
because it makes all this worth it for us, for sure.
For sure. Okay, this one's from Sarah. Hey guys, I was not at the Station nightclub the night of the fire. We did talk about this recently. Great White at the Station in 2004. But I still had to take a deep breath when I downloaded your episode to listen to. West Warwick is 20 minutes from where I grew up, and I'd never been to the Station for a show. The night after the fire, I turned on the morning news, and I couldn't figure out why Jack Russell was speaking to our live local news crew. He said he was still looking for his guitar player. And I thought it was Mark Kendall who was missing, but it ended up being Ty Longley, as we talked about in the episode, who sadly perished. Yeah. One detail from that time was that Great White wanted to come to the area for a benefit show to raise money for the families. For background, 100 families in this area lost a family member. There was a club/bar in Weymouth, Massachusetts, that booked the band, and all hell broke loose. The venue, which at the time was one that changed hands frequently, was on a main route, Route 18, and I had to drive by it to work. And news crews filled that parking lot the next morning, and the venue canceled the show. Local radio around here does not play Great White. It is what it is. She goes on to say, Metal Mike was the man. He was the guy lost also in the fire, who was the local radio talent.
Yeah.
He was the only guy in that area who played Megadeth, Motorhead, and Slayer. If you put on 94 WHJY late at night, that's where you found metal. And after the fire, the Station made a tribute to Mike through Metallica's Fade to Black. They cut snippets of him talking on air and added them into the song during the instrumental parts. It was hard for me to listen to the original Fade to Black for 20 years because of it. All the best, wow. Sarah.
Sarah, thanks for sending that letter. And sorry if that was kind of a difficult episode to listen to, and you had lots of memories for that. But thanks for telling us about that. We clearly don't live in a part of the country where they don't play Great White for a specific reason.
So. Yeah, well, and not the only person we heard from. Russ wrote the show, too. Hey, fellas, just wanted to send you a quick note to tell you how much I liked that episode on Great White and the Station tragedy. It was really well done, and I appreciate the sensitivity you showed to everything that happened. Thank you, because we waited to do that episode for a long time because of that. Because this show's a lot of fun, and we joke, and you know, and it's easy to get carried away, and we wanted to make sure we were definitely being sensitive to that. So I'm happy to hear that. He goes on to say, as someone who attended a lot of shows at the Station, both local bands as well as national touring acts, and then in parentheses he writes, I saw King's X, one of my all-time favorite bands, play there twice. Doug Pinnock!
Oh my God, dude.
Every time we can bring Doug Pinnock up on this show, shouts, I will do it. Even all the
still in action. Still in action.
Oh, Pinnock still kills. Is he like just touring with someone random or something now? Like he's always doing something.
It's still King's X. I don't know if it's just him. He's definitely hitting like Rob Halford, you know, like Townsend age. I mean, he's like late 60s, I guess.
Yeah. He's got to be. Yep. Even all these years later, I'm still in shock over what happened. Whenever I read another story or hear a podcast like yours, it makes me realize how lucky I was to not have been there that night and how terrible it was that this ever happened. The club was indeed small. I remember one of King's X's roadies being able to adjust the lights on the ceiling simply by reaching up with a mic stand and being able to push them. To this day, I am still completely flabbergasted that anyone thought it was a good idea to set off pyro in that place. Just a terrible and horrific decision. Thanks again for all the work you guys put into your episodes, and I really appreciate the shout-out you gave to the first season of Crimetown, which I didn't even mention by name in that episode. I, like, sort of by accident was like, there's a podcast about this, but heck yeah, it was Crimetown, which is probably one of my all-time favorite seasons of any show. Please keep the stories coming. Signed, Russ.
Thank you, Russ, for an awesome letter. That makes me feel great. I'm glad that meant a lot.
Yeah, man. We do this stuff, and it's you're never quite sure how it's going to hit, you know. And we hope that people have a good time listening to it and enjoy it. Here's Charles. Charles, a longtime fan of the show. We hear from Charles on and off quite a bit. Hey, guys, longtime listener. Love the show. Haven't written in a while. But I'd love to hear your take on this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. We have talked about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before. For sure. What do you think? Do you have any?
Well, I I remember having vitriol at the moment, even though, like, man, I love Public Enemy, of trying to understand and get my head around Public Enemy being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But if Public Enemy goes, then no one else should go. Like, Run DMC, right? I guess might already be in there. I'm not sure, but no one should go until Tribe Called Quest goes next. And I'm glad they're nominated, which is weird. Oh, and Ozzy is a solo artist.
I was going to say, is this the year for Ozzy as a solo artist?
Yeah, yeah. And that's okay. Just like a layup.
And and I don't want to take all the credit for it, but you see the Foreigners on the list again, right? We have raised our voices about Foreigner not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on this show to the chagrin of many people. I don't know if we've read those letters on the show, but that actually didn't land with everyone when we had bad things to say about Jan Winter.
No, well, also Mark Ronson, whose stepdad is in Foreigner, has been lobbying for it too. Mark Ronson, who also performed in I'm Just Ken on at the Oscars on Saturday with Wolfgang and Slash.
That was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So other people on the list.
What about Sade? Like, what about, how do you feel about any of that?
Did I tell you the funny story that my daughter, so my daughter's name is Sadie. And she, the other day, like not long ago, like in the past 6 months, was like, hey, you know how like most of the singers I listen to and that we listen to together have like a stage name? And I was like, sure. And she was like, I've been thinking that if I was going to have a stage name, I could just alter my given name and take the I out and just be Sadie, but spell it S-A-D-E. And like my wife was in the car, I think, when she said this, and I just cracked up and I was like, I got bad news, girl. That's already been done, but it's pronounced Sade. She was like, what? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's a thing, man. You need to go ahead and put that on your playlist.
I want to give a shout out to my old roommate, Lawrence, who, where I would be coming home into the dorms from class, and I could hear the music from our dorm room. And I would open the door, smell the weed as soon as I hit the open the door. And he would be smoking a blunt by himself, listening to Papa been laid off, Mama been, ooh, don't have a job, and watching hardcore pornography and doing homework. It's like you get, you're like off, straight off the farm. You're like 18 years old and you're like, this is what people do when they have to do homework. This
give it
freaking
all to me at once. I want everything at once. Don't separate them. Yeah. Wow. That's unbelievable. Charles, I hope those were hot enough takes for you. Let's hear from Halise. Halise Stamos writes the show. Here's an interesting thing about this show and about podcasting in general. You can listen to it in whatever order you want. And so Halise is way back in the catalog, and she has comments on episode 59. So I'm going there because I like this episode. Episode 59 was about Steve Perry and his disappearance and then reemergence with the band Eels. This is a story I really love because it's quirky and weird, and Steve Perry's amazing. Just an FYI, Halise writes. I love it when your letters start like this. Just an FYI.
Just heads up. We're nerds too. Here it comes.
Steve was sitting with Patty Jenkins, who was editing a documentary about women with cancer, when Steve saw a doctor. And I remember this. I remember learning this. When Steve saw Dr. Kelly Nash on Patty's screen. Yes, she tells him that she has stage 4 cancer. Steve asks Patty to email her for him, and he waits 2 weeks for her to respond. They initially spend hours on the phone just talking, and then Dr. Kelly Nash made Steve Perry promise not to go into hiding again and create joy for his fans. However, Steve has still not reunited with Journey. That is the end of the letter. So
no, that's the end of the story. That's the rest of the story.
Halise is like, this is a really cool story until it wasn't, but I'm putting it out there. So yes, thank you for that. And I do love the going back through the catalog thing. We did hear from a guy who was explaining how he's been listening to the show, Brian and Mark. I discovered the Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories podcast a few months ago. I started from the beginning, listening nearly every day when I go out for a walk for exercise, and I've just finished the year of 2022. So he's got a year and a few months. He's behind. So just, buddy, like 60 episodes. You're almost there. I'm slowly catching up. You guys do a great job, and I always hear something interesting. I'm closing in on 60, and I grew up in a small town in mid-Missouri during the 70s and 80s. As such, I was well-versed in Skinner, AC/DC, REO, Speedwagon, Steve Miller Band, Black Sabbath, and Judas Priest, along with Hank Jr., Johnny Cash, Alabama, and the like. That seems familiar and a little similar to your upbringing. Am I right, Mark?
Roll on, Alabama. That's correct.
And then he goes on to bring up what I think. I was thinking about this because we're getting fairly close to 200 episodes. And I was like, at 200 episodes, we should probably finally do like a retrospective or some sort of like, where are our favorite episodes? One of my favorite episodes ever is the Paul Pena episode. And he says, oh. I found the episode on Paul Pena fascinating, and I listened to his version of Jet Airliner many times after learning about it from you. Most episodes provide some new insight to an artist I either know or that I am at least familiar with. A lot of episodes, especially those that revolve around punk, you guys introduce me to new artists and their music. Thank you for doing that. Keep up the great work. I look forward to each episode. I should get through 2023 and be caught up over the next few months. Thanks, Ken. I love it, Ken. You're the man, dude.
Thanks. Thanks, Ken, for listening. Appreciate it. And awesome.
I'm glad we can be part of your exercise, man. You know, like healthy habits. I'm for that. Feel good about this.
We're here for the whole health for you. The whole body and mind.
So Chris writes the show. You guys just keep getting better with your stories. A weird little side note about Nelson. So this, of course, is in response to a recent show about Nelson. Nelson was also approached to contribute to the film Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Do you know this story?
I do not, and I await its details.
So I ran across it in the research and realized we were going to get distracted, so I'm really glad Chris brought it up. So here's the story. Matthew and Gunner co-write a song with Dweezil Zappa for the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure soundtrack, and it is called Two Heads Are Better Than One.
And it is.
And so you probably know this song if you know that movie. But the band was in this process that we talked about on the show of working with and getting signed to Geffen with John Kolodner. And remember, Kolodner was telling them basically what to do. They were at his mercy. And he says, that song is dumb. Well, I don't know if he said that, but I think that was his attitude. And he's like, you don't want to bill that as you. That could backfire. So they bill that song to the band Power Tool. Literally, the band that is known for that song is Power Tool, which is the Nelsons and Dweezil Zappa. The song eventually became the film's theme song, and they usually would play it during their live shows.
Oh, get out.
What, dude? What a great little tidbit. Thank you for making sure that got mentioned. That is very, very good. We appreciate you. If you've got a letter, it's easy to get involved. It's wearethestoryguys@gmail.com. Send that our direction. We love to hear from you, and we really appreciate your feedback and your interaction. And remember, tell us about your favorite music festival experience, and you could end up going to Louder Than Life. That happens in September in our hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, and we'd love to have you. So just send us an email, and it could be you winning four passes to that. Get details in the show notes. Check out the lineup and all that stuff. And what should people keep doing?
Until next time, Murdoch. Keep sending us letters, and keep listening to our podcast, and keep telling stories.